Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Carl's Cavern and Make a Jazz Noise Here. As always, well, not as always, but we are very happy that TC is with us. Oh, does Rock This Town with TC on Sundays. TC, nice to have you with us tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me, Carl. I'll tell you what, that's not the Pointer Sisters most people are used to.
No, I mean, that's the point I wanted to make. Pointer Sisters?
Yeah.
Okay. So the Pointer Sisters are four sisters, June, Bonnie, and then Anita and Ruth. Okay, and they started out as gospel. And then in 1969, June and Bonnie started performing as Pointers a pair, and then Anita joined them. They signed with Atlantic Records and did a lot of unsuccessful R&B, but then they got an interest in jazz and particularly New Orleans blues also. Their first album was produced by Alan Toussaint, who's a very famous New Orleans writer, arranger, and piano player.
Certainly.
And they decided to do this. That particular tune is actually an original that was written for them. And they share co-credit with Alan Toussaint on that. I picked that one because, A, it harkens back to the early, like, Ella Fitzgerald and that with the scat, but also it's more reminiscent of the 50s bebop style and with that piano and everything and that. So it's a really great, great thing. And I know when I play that for you, it's like, I didn't know these Pointer Sisters. So talk about that a little bit, DC.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm trying to think off the top of the head. In fact, didn't I just hear a Pointer Sisters song last night? I'm so excited. Wasn't that one of theirs?
Yep. Yep, that's one of theirs.
Did you read my post on Facebook about that?
No.
Yeah, of course, you know, we went to New York City. We took a patient there. And we're coming back, and we stopped at a Sheetz to fill up, and I had to pee really bad. And, you know, I'm doing a duck walk into the store. You know, I had to pee so bad. And I, you know, go up to the urinal like I'm a bull out of the gate at the rodeo, you know, and I'm standing there and relieving myself, and the song playing on the PA system above me was "I'm So Excited." And damn right I was. So, but that was probably 99% of the population's exposure to the Pointer Sisters was the disco era, and everybody thinks of them as disco. And I think we're going to find a lot of people tonight that, you know, people know the names, but they really don't know the music. So that's what's so cool about what we're doing tonight. Now, tell you what.
The breadth of the music that they did so much. I mean, one thing about Pointer Sisters, they had a number one single on the country charts. Seriously.
Yeah. Yep. I knew that.
You know, so hey.
So, but what was so cool about this show tonight, and I'm going to tell you that, you know, my Rock This Town Radio TC, I'm really familiar with most stuff I put up there. I find a few gems that I didn't know about it, but it's mostly to give it to people listening, you know, like, hey, here's somebody you might not know. Well, tonight, these are all that I didn't know. So it's like a real education for me. I mean, I always kind of dip my toe into the water that's known as jazz. But, I mean, I dove right in this time, and it's really exciting what we're doing. We're doing things I knew from the 70s, and you and I growing up near Buffalo, there was a great radio station called Woo Woo. Remember that one?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
WU. Short-lived, but they played everything. They didn't. Mm-hmm. They weren't a classic rock station. They weren't a contemporary this or that. They played everything. And a couple of songs we're here tonight, they actually used to play on the air, which was, you know, pretty crazy for a rock station playing jazz fusion and stuff. But the first guy I'm going with, if you're ready to move on, it's my turn, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. One of the most phenomenal guitar players ever. And he stuck really into the jazz genre, jazz fusion, Pat Metheny. In fact, go ahead and play what we got, and we'll talk about
okay.
it a little bit.
And this
afterwards.
Is Better Days by Pat Metheny.
Better Days Ahead.
nice.
Yeah. He grew up in a musical family. I didn't put down where he's from, but anyways, when he saw the Beatles, like back in the 60s, fell in love with the guitar, and his parents were trying everything they could to get him away from the guitar because they were standard jazz people. And when he turned 12, they finally let him get a guitar, and he turned into one of the most incredible jazz guitarists there are. He's the only musician ever nominated for a Grammy in 10 different categories.
Yeah.
You know, that's how talented this guy is. But that was from 1988, his sixth studio album. So that was Pat Metheny. And that's a name we heard in the 70s, you know. And a lot of the ones that I'll be playing, were like real popular at that time. And it was nice. There's a real good transition between rock and jazz fusion back then, where people appreciated both genres, you know. So that's it. Okay.
Absolutely. You know, Metheny was one of the progenitors of fusion, along with, if you go back a little ways, I would say Santana, too. But, you know, putting different types of music that were popular together, mixing them up and coming up with something new, like a chef and a new creation, a new dish. And that's exactly what he did. And later in the thing, I'm going to mention probably one of the main influences on Metheny, and we'll listen to him, but that's a little later. Right now,
actually,
we're going to go into Lester Young.
There were two mm-hmm. people you picked songs from were both heavy influences, and when you play them, I'll mention it again. But
okay.
I didn't want to steal your thunder by saying, oh, yeah, he's influenced by these guys when you're going to be playing them. So when you get to them,
okay.
I'll mention it. Okay, go ahead.
Absolutely. Okay, so we're going to go on to a tenor saxophonist by the name of Lester Young, who is the earliest person that I'm playing. And this is his version of a very standard song, Stardust, and then I'll talk about it afterwards. So this is Stardust by Lester Young.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how gorgeous is
smooth.
That?
Yeah.
Seriously.
And that's right.
You know, that's having a cigar and a brandy and a jazz club, man, and just listening to that out, that tenor sax, man.
And like you said, I mean, it's a standard. I've been recorded by 80 or 90 other people, but boy, is that a beautiful version.
Oh,
you know, it's just a beautiful
version. And just to give you a little information on Lester Young, he was born in 1909, and they had a band, a family band that he played in. But then his prominence basically came with Count Basie. And he, in 1933, settled into Kansas City, rose to prominence with Count Basie. He also, during this time, also, when they were in New York, befriended Billie Holiday and actually stayed with her. And he always said it was a platonic relationship. But, you know, I'm not saying that one way or the other. But they were very, very close. They also recorded. And his influences, just to give you an idea to go back a little further, at the time he started, the premier tenor sax player was Coleman Hawkins. And then also you go back into the 20s, and Frankie Trumbauer, who played the C melody tenor sax. Okay, and instead of B flat, the old C melody sax. So, you know, and in the 40s, he was with Joe Jones and a number of things. He was dishonorably discharged from the Army. And from there on in, he went into a more experimental phase. But it is this phase in the 30s that he did. And one other thing I do want to say, he played the first Newport Jazz Festival, too. So, you know, this is a man who has an absolute sterling pedigree and one of the founders of jazz. And so I wanted to
huge influence.
Include him today. Okay, TC, it's off to you now.
Well, I'm going to take you back home, man. How's that sound?
That sounds good to me.
Let's go. Okay, Buffalo, New York. It's a band that was named after one of the founders. Heard this name in a science class, and it's actually a species of algae. And when they went to play in a club in Buffalo, it was just a bunch of guys getting together. They go, "What's your name?" And the bar owner said, "What's your name?" And the one guy says, Spirogyra. And the bar owner wrote it Spirogyra, and the name stuck. And we're going to hear a song that I used to hear on the radio a lot of, like I said, that station Woo Woo. I just love this. This is Shaker Song by Spirogyra from 1977.
Thank you.
Don't leave. I want to still chair dance.
I know. This song quit on us. It was already 5 minutes long before. It's a fantastic one. You know, and I was thinking while I was playing about, you know, because like, it came out in 77. Of course, that was our late teens going into our early 20s. And there's a lot of jazz that was right on the edge of rock and roll, like we mentioned. And I think it started back, like, with Sergio Mendez, Herb Alpert, and in the 70s, Chuck Mangione. Chuck Mangione.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he crossed over into the, you know, the pop music. And, you know, whether
yeah, I don't think we have anything by Mangione, but I would say if anyone wants to check him out, the House on the Hill Where the Lord Lies is really, really good.
Yeah,
just,
and that's
just tremendous.
My point is, you know, like, my point is, you people have been listening to jazz all along, you just didn't know it. You know, I mean,
yeah.
It was right on the edge. It was right there on the edge. And I think that's what made a band like Spyro Gyra, you know, popular. In fact, that song right there made it to number 90 on the Billboard charts, which is pretty fucking impressive.
Absolutely.
You know, for a local Buffalo band, because I don't know how much national appeal they had, but boy, they had enough to get number 90 in the Billboard.
Oh, they had
so.
National appeal. Trust me on that.
Yeah.
Trust me on that. You know.
Okay.
Okay. So now we're going to go into Jerry Mulligan and Chet Baker, and we're going to focus on Jerry Mulligan. Okay, so this is Walking Shoes by Jerry Mulligan and Chet Baker, and I'll talk a little bit about Jerry afterwards. So this is Walking Shoes.
Thank you.
So, TC, that was a jazz quartet. Did you notice anything different about it?
Well, I was actually kind of concentrating on Chet Baker's playing. You know, the trumpet, Chet Baker.
Mm-hmm.
He was a name that came out, you know, blast from the past. No, what are you pointing out?
Okay, so Jerry Mulligan really is better known for his arrangements. And he was actually part of Miles Davis' first group, the Jazz Nonet. And he arranged for several people. But that particular quartet that we just listened to with Chet Baker, it's called the Pianoless Quartet. No piano. Because basically they were unhappy with their first recording with piano. They decided to do something without piano. And this is all Mulligan's work. He specifically arranged it such that they didn't need a piano. The other thing about Mulligan that I really like is that, you know, we had Lester Young, who's a tenor sax. Of course, Charlie Parker was alto sax. Jerry was baritone sax. That's why you have that very low sound coming out.
Yeah.
You know, along with the bass. And that was really interesting in pairing with Baker because of the difference in timbre. And it worked really well.
Yeah.
But he was phenomenal. He was phenomenal. The work that I can't really go into it because I'd be talking for 20 minutes. But, man, you know, he worked with Paul Desmond, Duke Ellington, Donnie Hodges, Jimmy Witherspoon, Billie Holiday, Andre Previn, Louis Armstrong, Count Basie, Stan Getz, did arrangements for all of them. All of them.
Yeah, and
so,
and right there with the Prince of Cool. Tell you what, that guy was just... He was phenomenal. Boy, I'll tell you what, he's in and out of jail, drug problems, everything. But he had a career resurgence like in the 70s and 80s. But he was just he was a good vocalist, too, Chet Baker.
Oh, yeah.
He had a couple
phenomenal
albums.
Phenomenal musician. So I definitely wanted to get Jerry in on this. So we're back to
sir.
That was
a good choice, very good choice. And I'm going with another guy that I was turned on to in my mid to late teens, early 20s. And I'm talking about Chick Corea. And he just died last February, or February 2021, I believe. Yeah. And this song is actually a jazz standard that he started. And it's called Windows.
And here we go. Windows
19,
by Chick Corea.
1966.
Nice.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you what the problem with Chick Corea is. It was hard to find a song under 12 minutes because, God damn it, that guy can just, he can just keep rolling. You know, I mean, there's so many good Chick Corea songs, but that was a nice example, and it makes up for your piano-less song. Because
yeah,
Chick Corea
absolutely.
Could play piano. You know, the guy's phenomenal. That's when I had an opportunity to see him, and I didn't, and I'm kicking myself. So, you've always liked Chick Corea, right? I mean, been a fan of
his
stuff.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, when I was in jazz band in high school, we did a couple of arrangements of Korea.
Nice.
He was very, very prominent in the 70s. Very prominent in the 70s. But, yeah, I like Korea a lot. Okay, so now we're going to go on to someone that is a very, very major influence on one of the previous artists that we talked about, that's Pat Metheny, and we're talking about the jazz guitarist Wes Montgomery. And I'll talk about him a little afterwards. And right now we're going to listen to his version of Days of Wine and Roses.
Thank you.
lovely. One of the things about Wes Montgomery was his style. And he picked with the sides of his thumbs, and he also worked specifically with octaves. Not that you really heard it in that song, but he was influenced by a guitarist by the name of Charlie Christian. Never read music, would just listen and be able to pick things out. And boy, could he play. What did you think of that, like DC?
Well, like you said, you know, I mean, he was one of the first influences for Pat Metheny. And you can hear it in Metheny's work, how he was such an influence. But the sad thing is, he died at 45 years old of a heart attack. So, you know, I mean, what could he have been? I mean, how much more of an influence he could have been on music, you know, if that wouldn't have happened tragically. And that was, what, in the 60s?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 1968, 45 years old. So, I mean, you know, he could have 70s, 80s still been a big influence, but I think a lot of people were influenced by him, and he kind of flew under the radar as far as popularity went. But, boy, my God, can that guy play? And like you said, playing with the side of his thumb. The side of his thumb is better than most people's hand with a pick.
And, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was a treasure you just played there, man. That was something.
All right, so we're on to you, sir. So what do you got for us?
When we first talked, what, maybe 2 months ago, we talked about doing a jazz show. Never got around to it, but as soon as we mentioned it, this next one's the first song I thought of. My God, do I love it. You know, where you're going with a more traditional sound, where I'm kind of going a little more jazz fusion, but this is the one. This is our man, Jean-Luc Ponty, and it's off his 1976 album, Imaginary Voyage, which I wore out albums. I wore out cassette tapes of it, and this is Gardens of Babylon. Beautiful song.
Here we go. Gardens of Babylon by Jean-Luc Ponty. Very nice. Very nice.
Beautiful song.
Of course, we all,
you
know,
you all know,
at least I know John Luponte primarily through his work with Frank Zappa. And I will just let listeners know this will not be the only Zappa reference you hear tonight. So I'm going to give it over to DC.
Yeah, you're going to hear another one here in a second. But, yeah, that was off the, I think, his second album, actually. And it was 1976. And you basically heard three solos in there. The piano was an Australian named Alan Zivod. The guitar you heard was Daryl Stormer, who plays, he played on almost every Genesis tour and every Phil Collins tour, right up until last year's tours, actually. And, of course, we heard John Luponte, violinist. But you know who was playing bass guitar on that, Carl?
I'm going to take
a
guess.
Zappa reference.
Okay. I'm going to say Stanley Clarke.
Nope. It was Tom Fowler.
Oh, Tom Fowler.
Tom Fowler.
Okay.
Yeah, who played with Mother's Invention and Frank Zappa, and, you know, along with his brother, played with that. But, God damn,
that is
one of the most, I think that's one of the most beautiful songs I know. You know, instrumentals. It's just incredible. And there's a live version of him doing it on with that band on YouTube, which is just, you know, it's just fun to watch him play. It's just incredible. So that's my Jean Luc Ponty.
There you go.
I would say everybody can go home now, but don't not stick around for the rest of the show.
No, you gotta stick around. we're going to do a very much of a standard piece called Un Poco Loco, but I want to put a shout out to my mom. Okay, so my mom, you know, taught in schools while Keith and I were in high school. And she was able to get me this set of LPs from New World, a whole thing of American music. And it had like three or four albums of jazz. And I remember putting it on, not knowing anything about it, listening to this song, like, who the fuck is this? And this piano piece is called Un Poco Loco, and it's by Bud Powell. And if you weren't blown away at the end of this, I have no idea who you are. Okay? Un Poco Loco by Bud Powell. Thank you. When I first heard that song, "Un Poco Loco" by Bud Powell, the thing that hit me most was what we call the polyrhythm, which it's in 4-4, but the drummer with those clanks is going in 3-4. And it's like it discombobulates you as a listener, and then you have those really, really rough patches and that sort of thing, the glissandos and that. And I know I'm getting too technical, but God damn, that piece absolutely floors me.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Bud Powell had a really, really rough life. He died at 42 of malnutrition and tuberculosis. He had electroshock therapy, was in and out of mental hospitals. But, oh, my God, his piano playing. What did you think of that piece, PC?
That was that piano right there should be like the jazz piano national anthem, the way he did that. And it was interesting. I was picking up on that percussion as you were talking about it. I was picking up, I thought, wait a minute, it sounds like you're playing two different songs for a little while, but somehow it worked. You know, especially when he got into that little percussion solo, you know, it just kind of tied the whole thing together, and it was just fantastic.
You know, as I said, I listened to that. The first time I listened to it was off an album that my mother had gotten for me, and I just like, what the fuck was that? With my, you know, and when music does that to you, it's really good.
Well, especially,
seriously.
you know, seeing you're a piano player and you're playing at that time, you're probably listening to that thinking, I can never be that good. You know, I mean,
no way.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
You know, so that was a great tune. Great tune. What year was that one?
That is 1953.
That's what I thought. I thought it was in the early 50s when I was, you know, putting it in the studio. So good choice again, buddy.
Yeah, I'm absolutely. So we're off to you. Where are we going now?
Yeah, man, we made it halfway. We're halfway through the music in the first hour, so we're doing well. I'm going back to what's been my wheelhouse so far, the mid to late 70s, with another band, and they were almost the gold standard for jazz fusion when it started. They started in New York City in 1970, but they're really an international band, and they're called Weather Report. And I'll talk about this song when we're done. It's named after a very famous jazz club that was in New York City. And this song is called Birdland. It's their tribute to the club.
Here we go. Birdland by Weather Report. There you
go.
I don't know how many times I've heard that song over the years, man. Great song. Great tune.
Yeah, and, you know, it was from their 1977 album, Heavy Weather. But Manhattan Transfer won a Grammy with that song 2 years later in 79, and Quincy Jones won two Grammys with it in 1989. And like I said, the song was a tribute to the New York City Jazz Club, Birdland, which was in operation from 1949 to 1965. And the originator of Weather Report, Joe Zawinul, I think he was Swedish, he used to go to that club almost daily. I heard Count Basie and Louis Armstrong and Duke Ellington and Miles Davis there, and, you know, which were all heavy influences on him putting together Weather Report. And like I said, their band was basically international. They had some Americans, but they had a problem keeping people. And I think they finally ended up breaking up in the mid-80s. But they had a rotating lineup. But it was international. They had people from France and America and everything. But great group, though. Great music.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just to mention the guitarist, I'm not sure on this, but one of their premier guitarists played with them for a while, and that was Larry Coryell. So just wanted to mention him, too. So now we're on to one of the standards. And being a piano player, how can I not do a Dave Brubeck tune? But we're not doing Take Five. We're doing Blue Rondo a la Turk. Yeah, but Take Five is damn good. I don't care if it's overplayed. Okay,
yeah,
but we're doing Blue Rondo a la Turk by Dave Brubeck.
Thank you.
Total classic. One of the things about Brubeck, he had the biggest selling jazz album of all time to this day, and that's Time Out. But many of his songs were in strange time signatures. Take 5 and 5/4, Brulando a la Turk, which we just listened to, in 9/8, and then Square Dance in 7/4, and of course the quartet, one of the greatest quartets of all time, with Dave Brubeck on piano, Paul Desmond on saxophone, bassist Eugene Wright, and drummer Joe Morello. And just unbelievable talent. And everybody from Vince Guaraldi, any jazz pianist has taken for Dave Brubeck, period. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. See what you think of it.
Yeah, and you mentioned that album, Time Out. That was actually the first jazz album to ever sell a million copies. And that song is just incredible. Everything he did was incredible. And it's so cool how he was drafted into the Army, but they put together a show, and the show was so popular, he avoided combat by going on to perform for troops and stuff like that. And it was actually one of the first racially diverse groups in all of music, you know, where he being a white guy with all the black guys and everything, and it was quite interesting. He recorded right up until his death. In fact, he died, what, the day before his 92nd birthday?
Yep.
A heart attack. His son was taking him to see the cardiologist, and he had a heart attack and died. So,
yep.
But he made it to 92. You know, and he recorded right up until the end. So
absolutely.
He's like the gold standard of jazz piano.
Okay, so one other thing I do want to mention before we go on to your pick is that what he did by taking jazz, combining it with classical music, he really was the progenitor of a style that we'll call third stream, which we're going to get into with some of my next picks, third stream jazz. So we're going to take it back to UTC, and what do you got for us?
Okay, well, right up until this point, my first five songs were basically all ones from the 70s that was my introduction to jazz fusion and everything. And when I picked those songs, and I said, okay, where am I going to go from here? And I thought, how about new stuff? And I was stuck. And a week before this show happened, I was outside. My mailman comes around the corner. I'm going to say right now, he's a black guy. Comes around the corner, and he's got his phone in his pocket. What are you listening to today, Jerry? He says, oh, jazz, man, jazz. I said, really? What do you got for me? And he rattled off some names. And I came inside and I Googled them and YouTubed them. And my God, did I find four of the best newer groups, acts, that you can hear. And the very first one we're going to start off with is a guy named Brian Culbertson, who is from Chicago, Illinois. And I came in and listened to Brian Culbertson. I listened to about seven or eight of his songs. I said, holy shit. I went on his website, looked at the tour, He's coming to Pittsburgh, and I found a single seat in the third row, and goddammit, I'll be there in April. And this is Brian Culbertson. This is off a 2003 album, I want to. Yeah, 2003. But this is a live recording that they did in the Capitol Records Studio A in 2009 with some guest hosts. But give it a whirl, Carl. This is Say What, and if you don't like it, we can no longer be friends.
There you go,
buddy.
Go for it. chair dance now, there's more. I want a chair dance more. Repeat it, please.
That guy, watch that video that song came from. Say what, and I'll tell you what. You see a guy who can play the ivories, man. He is phenomenal. And the whole band is phenomenal. What a great tune, huh?
Yeah, seriously. Seriously. So Brian Culbertson, is he the piano player or is he the sax player?
Yeah, he's a piano player.
Oh, damn. I'm checking him out. No question.
Yeah. Yeah, he, I was reading his wiki, and he's won a ton of awards. He actually won an NAACP, like, smooth jazz award, And he's a white guy. So, he's incredible. I mean, he's like my new favorite guy, from what I've been watching. So, just go find the video that I took that music from. Like I said, it was actually a live recording in the Capitol Records studio from 2009. But watch that video, and it's going to blow you away.
Absolutely.
Good stuff. Brian Culbertson. That's why I said it's so fun just learning finding these new songs and new artists. And I would have never known them. I would have never known them if I wasn't looking for jazz people. And my mailman came around the corner and was listening to a guy we'll hear shortly, another one of my versions. But he said, Brian Culbertson's one you want to listen to. I go, yeah, I guess. So a couple days after that, I saw Jerry across the street, the mailman. I yelled over, I go, dude, you turned me on to a fucking god. So,
nice.
Great.
That's always cool when that happens. Always cool.
Yeah.
So we're going to go on here.
I'm always turning other people on to stuff. It's great to have it come back to me. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, that's one of the great things working with you and Rachel when we work with Rach, is that you've turned me on to new stuff that I didn't know. So, this is a good one. This is a good one. So we're going to move on now. And we were talking, I mentioned Third Stream. We're going to be talking about a tune called Transformation. This is actually a piano version of an Eric Dolphy tune done by Don Preston, who was the keyboardist for the early Mothers of Invention with Frank Zappa. And I'll talk more about this when we're done over with the song. And this is Transformation by Don Preston. Thank you. you can get the earplugs out because that one's pushing. I'll admit you to that. I'm surprised
you can survive that, TC. Well, you can tell he was he fit right in with Frank Zappa, that's for sure. You know,
okay,
the time
so
he spent
there.
Just a
little bit about Don Preston, just so you know who we're talking about. He was born into a family of musicians. His father was played with the Tommy Dorsey Orchestra and was composer in residence for the Detroit Symphony Orchestra. Played in the Army Band there alongside Herbie Mann, and then who's a jazz flautist, and then also Bunk Gardner introduced him to classical composers, Bela Bartok and that. And he, just to give you an idea, okay, this is who he's played with over the years. Not just Zappa, but he's played and recorded with John Lennon, Robbie Krieger of the Doors, Lou Rawls, Al Jarreau, Connie Francis, Carla Bley, Joe Beck, Nelson Riddle, Yoko Ono, so many. And he really pushes the envelope. And you may not like that type of jazz, and that's a definite example of third stream. But for me, with my background, I loved it. Because, you know, I grew up, I was only allowed to listen to classical music, and I found shit like that and, like, drove my parents crazy. So there you go.
I think it's
all
pretty
right, that's
interesting.
Enough about... go ahead.
I think it's pretty interesting because, you know, Don Preston played lead guitar for Joe Cocker and Leon Russell and several others in the 70s. And our piano player, Don Preston, admitted to accidentally receiving and unwittingly cashing a royalty check intended for the guitar player. They sent a royalty check to the wrong Don Preston, and he cashed it. I love it.
There you go.
I hope he paid him back. So
I think he actually paid him back. I know that story too. We're on to you now. What do you got for us?
Oh man, I have a Dutch saxophonist named Candy Dulfer, and actually the song we're going to hear came off a soundtrack for a Dutch movie that I can't pronounce. But it translates into English as Lily Was Here. And it's actually credited to David A. Stewart, who we know as Dave Stewart from the Eurythmics. So this is Candy Dulfer and David A. Stewart doing Lily Was Here.
Here we go. I remember that tune. I didn't know that was from a film. I remember that tune. That played radio quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, it did get some airplay. Yeah, it was 1989 soundtrack from a Dutch movie. And title translated, like I said. But she's a 53-year-old Dutch saxophonist, performed live with Alan Parsons, Pink Floyd, and Tower of Power. She's recorded with Prince and Van Morrison, just to name a couple. But she's been around a while. Her dad was a famous saxophonist in Amsterdam, and that she's a good looker too. Just to throw that in there. But
yeah,
it was Candy Dulfer.
There
yeah,
you go.
I know the tune. I think that tune's probably showed up in other movies and TVs. It is a familiar song. So, okay.
Well, from one familiar song to another, and I really don't have anything to say about this other than it's Herbie Hancock and it's Watermelon Man. But I will say, this is the singles version because it's a little shorter. And this was actually on Soul Train. And he appeared on Soul Train in 1973 with Don Cornelius. And we've got Watermelon Man by Herbie Hancock. I don't have to say much about that, but that's my fusion pick from the 70s. By the way, I do have to say that's Benny Maupin on the soprano sax, and just an incredible group. I could say so much about Herbie Hancock, but you don't want me to do that. If you don't know that name, check it out. Seriously, that man's been working since the 50s and did so many movie soundtracks and such. Just an amazing musician. What do you think, TC?
Yeah, you can't know this genre without knowing Herbie Hancock. I mean, he was just phenomenal in every way. You know, I mean, it's like you see what he did, what he put out as his albums, but Jesus, there's so many things you could pick up and look at, and there's Herbie Hancock's name on a soundtrack or anything. The guy was just one of the best. I mean, you know,
absolutely.
Chick Corea, Herbie Hancock, those two guys. You know, in the 70s, as we knew them, you know, when you go farther back, I mean, we could do a whole show on Herbie Hancock.
Oh, hell yeah.
It was just phenomenal stuff. And it was hard, and it sucks that you kind of, I mean, Watermelon, everything by Herbie Hancock's pretty long. I mean, you could have thrown any song out there. And Watermelon Man was a good pick. And that was a good sample of that song, you know, because it was
right.
Live on Soul Train. So,
the original of that is like 7 minutes long. So I found that version, and that was fine. I do have to say one thing. I went out last week for my birthday with a friend of mine, Norman Porras. Norman is a jazz pianist, and he gigs around the city of Long Island a lot. A very accomplished guy. And he does that. And I said, but you don't have the damn African, you know, whistles and that. He says, I have a synthesizer, you fuck. I can do it.
Well, it has been covered by a few people, but I mean, it wasn't even the original.
I played it in jazz band.
Cut.
Not that version, but
yeah,
absolutely. I was in high school jazz band. I was the pianist, and I had a solo on that one. So, yeah, even
there
I thought.
Okay.
So what do you got for us?
All right, another mailman pick. Thank you, Jerry. My next guy is Mike Phillips, who's from Mount Vernon, New York. And he emerged actually as a sideman for Jill Scott. Are you familiar with her?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And
he's played, this guy's played with Prince, Stevie Wonder, Bootsy Collins. And he's had 4 studio albums. And this song is actually from 2020. This is called Watching You by Mike Phillips.
Here we go.
Thank you.
Nice saxophone, man. Nice
Absolutely.
Saxophone. He played, like I said, he's played with Prince, Stevie Wonder, Bootsy Collins, Jill Scott. I mean, sought after. He's won smooth jazz awards and everything. He's just one of those guys that I never heard of him before. Mailman Jerry turned me on to him. So I like him.
Well, shout out and a tip of the hat and a toast to Mailman Jerry. Absolutely.
Yes.
Always good to listen to new stuff. Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to end up my part of this with, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, no, that's okay. But, you know, the interesting thing about jazz is, and we're learning tonight, it's not pigeonholed into one sound, you know.
No.
I mean, it's a combination of a lot of things. I mean, you can hear some rock in here. You can hear some soul in there like we just did with Mike Phillips. And it's not, you know, it's like people think jazz, it's like, oh, you know, they think beat music or something, you know, beatnik music. But no, it's a wide, wide, you know, spectrum. It falls under that four-letter word.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we tried to do here because, you know, when we talked about this, you were going to go more with the jazz fusion and that, and I'm going more with the early influences, and it gives a whole sort of like rounded view of what it is. I mean, remember, we just listened to Don Preston, and that's nothing like Don Preston, you know, and that's the good thing, always.
Yep.
That you know, you pigeonhole something into what you think it is. It never is what you think it is, because there's other things out there, always within that.
You're
umbrella.
Exactly right. Yep.
Now we're going to go on to one of the major people that if I'm doing a jazz show, you got to do Miles Davis. That's all there is to it. This is off one of his later albums, and this is called Tutu. Going into overtime here, guys.
All right.
And that was Tutu by Miles Davis. That was written in honor of Desmond Tutu, Bishop Desmond Tutu, and his work against apartheid. So Miles Davis.
Beautiful.
You cannot say anything about Miles Davis other than, like, he's seminal. Listen to him. You want to know about jazz? Miles Davis. And Bitches Brew, man. Bitches Brew, greatest fucking album of the 70s jazz there ever was, period. You got anything to say about that, my friend?
His name is so well known, and he was on every TV show, like a variety show during the 70s. I mean, he introduced so many people to jazz, and he was one of Pat Metheny's influences. That's the two that he named.
Absolutely.
You know, that really got him into the jazz genre. So, yeah, you got that.
Just to give you an idea, he was a member of Charlie Parker's Bebop Quintet from 1944 to 48. So, I mean, this man, you know, when he died in 91 at age 65, you know, I mean, the influence he had was just amazing. And there isn't a jazz player or a jazz aficionado that hasn't been influenced by Miles Davis music, period. Period.
Yeah, you're right there. You're right there. I mean, he's a name everybody knows. You know, mm-hmm. even if you're not in the genre, you know Miles Davis. You know who he is. You've heard of him because he's that good. So, good choice.
Thank you, sir.
I like that song.
So
I mean,
you got one more for
one.
Us?
Well, that Miles Davis, another one. You had about 50 songs to choose there, and you picked a good one. I like that was, and I didn't even make the connection between Desmond Tutu and that song, so that even made it more special. Okay, yeah.
You know,
I have one
and again, you know, looking for tunes, man. Most of them are 12, 14 minute tunes. Yeah.
I know. That's the problem with these. That was the problem we both had. You know, we wanted to get as many songs as we could so we get as much variety as we could. You know, and you're looking and it's like, God damn, this is a great song, but it's 12 minutes long or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So that's what we had. We were facing, folks, when we were putting this show together. So we'd give you as much variety as we could. And I will be posting on my Facebook page, and Carl, if you want to copy it down to yours, I'm going to be posting a set list as soon as we're done. So you can post it on, you can copy, you know, share it. So if anybody's listening and they want to see what songs we played, you know, because we're rapid firing them at you, and you can actually read the titles and go back and look for them yourselves. And with that, I have my last song. And this is a smooth jazz guy, man. This is Warren Hill, 57-year-old guy from Toronto who was discovered at Berklee College of Music in Boston. He's had 13 number one singles on the Billboard Smooth Jazz charts. And this song is called The Passion Theme, and it's from his 1993 album, Devotion. Warren Hill, The Passion Theme.
Thank you.
Nice.
Lauryn Hill.
Yeah. Yeah, I listen to quite a few things from him, and he's just, you know, he's smooth.
Yeah.
Yeah. The sax is just incredible. And he's played with a lot of people, too. So that's who I'm ending it with, a traditional, more traditional smooth jazz, you might say.
Well, you can end it with traditional smooth jazz, but our outro song is anything but, okay? But before we go, we're on overtime right now, and I'm not going to do any housekeeping. I'm going to do that tomorrow on your show. But why don't you just give us a preview of tomorrow, what you're doing in your YouTube channel and all that, TC?
Okay, well, yeah, we'll quickly go through that. Rock This Town Radio at TC tomorrow night. We welcome back co-host Randy Gorley, and, of course, Carl will be along with us. And Randy and I are doing songs with one-word titles. So, and boy, you talk about one that took a while to narrow that down.
Oh, good God.
Yeah, so it's going to be, I did that a few weeks ago. You remember I did the long song titles. Now we're doing the one-word song titles. And I'm even going to have a little Mark Broussard in there for you, Carl. The guy that you're really turned
out. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I had to put one in there for you.
Yay!
That's tomorrow night. Yeah, that's tomorrow night, Deviant Legion Network, 8 p.m. Sunday, Rock This Town Radio at TC. And like I said, co-hosted by Randy Corley, and Carl will be along too. And my YouTube channel, TCC77. I shoot videos at concerts I go to all over the country. My last ones I put up were from December 30th here. Prince is playing ping pong and the Magic Beans. So check that out, TCC77, and we'll see you guys tomorrow night on Rock This Town Radio at TC.
Absolutely. So we're going to end up with a song that I have to dedicate to my former partner, Stephen Ronquillo. Stephen Ronquillo loves Sun Ra and his orchestra. Sun Ra and his orchestra, along with George Clinton, were the two main purveyors of what they call Afrofuturism. And it's a very, very odd sense of looking at the future from an African-American perspective. Very, very, very much out there. And it's a wonderful, wonderful musician. Sun Ra actually made quite an event on SNL when he and his orchestra played Saturday Night Live, and they basically just relegated them to the outro because it was so weird they didn't know what to do with them. So, as we said, jazz has many, many different perspectives, and this is one. And today you'll notice that TC did a lot more of the smooth and the fusion. I did a lot more of the out there stuff and the stuff that was seminal to do all of this music tonight. I'm very, very pleased that you've been with us. And right now we're going to a trip to Jupiter with Sun Ra with On Jupiter. Good night, people.
Good night, everybody.
And that's it, my friends. Good night. Thanks, TC, for being with us. And we'll see you tomorrow.
Good night, folks.
Good night.